All right, howlers, let's get howling. But first, a couple quick warnings. First warning, this podcast contains adult content.
Don't be a pixie.
Second warning, this podcast contains spoilers for the entire Red Rising saga.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at HowlerPod and on TikTok at HowlerPodOfficial and email howlerpod@gmail.com. Also, rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then you're not invited to email us.
And now, Howler Pod.
Ow!
Your podcast for all things Red Rising, where every episode we dive deep to break down, celebrate, and discuss all aspects of the fantastic Red Rising saga by Howler Number One.
Ow, ow!
Pierce Brown!
Woo! Jump the gun.
I am your host, Ben Reinert. I am joined today, as always, by the amazing Aaron Ayers.
Hello, Howlers.
Aaron, what are we doing today?
We are still in our Prime 25, and now this is part two of Prime Time 25. And let me look. It's numbers 20 to 16.
Number 20 through 16.
Did you have any trouble picking these this week?
This was easier.
I went a little rogue. So I had the system last week that I followed mostly. Mm-hmm. Except for...
Oh, you went off system this time.
So I just like switched someone because I was like...
Okay.
Someone was totally off my list because she didn't fit a lot of the categories.
Okay.
But I felt like...
She needed to be
She
in.
Should be on the list.
All right.
And then, spoiler, it's a she. And then the person that was on my list, I was like, we need to go up.
Gotcha.
Towards the top.
Okay.
So that's what happened.
For the people that... maybe didn't listen to the previous
episode.
Well,
go listen.
Yes.
That'd be weird.
Can you give them an idea of what does most prime mean to you, just quickly?
Most prime now, it's going to change week to week.
Yeah.
Is, you
It's
know,
a living document here at Howler Pod.
There's no rules. most prime this week, you know, I kind of stuck with my Excel rating system of strongest and fighting skills, cunning, moral compass.
Yes.
Are you alive? But then on a few, I was like, you know what? I like you. So, you know, you're getting bumped and we're going to move some things around.
You got a little.
I just personally
to your list.
Like yeah. you. Because remember last week I was like rooting for the villains.
Right.
Now I'm like, we need some more heroes.
Nice.
Mixed
okay.
in. How about you? What is most prime
most
this
prime
week?
To me was fully off vibes. So I was very...
Still vibing?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, I was just kind of like, I just kind of felt it out and like what felt right to me when I was making my list. So...
Perfect.
Let's start with number 20. Did you start last time or did I?
You started.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. So number 20, and I think, do we have some of the same?
I think we do have some shared okay. this week, but I'm not sure it's number 20.
Okay. Great. So number 20 for me is Seffi the Quiet.
Ooh.
Shh.
Okay, she is on my list this week, so we can talk
oh.
about her at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah.
What number is Seffi on your list?
Seffi for me is number 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have Seffi at 20. What's your favorite Seffi moment?
So I picked kind of a different one because my quote is a really great Seffi moment, but... My favorite moment overall for Seffi was showing Ephraim around Eagle's Rest.
Okay.
Just because...
That's Dark Age?
Yes, Dark Age. It was such a mystery why she left. And then we found this out, and I felt like it added so much depth to her character and just made her like a fully realized human being where she's like making her own decisions. She's clearly got her own motives. Like she cares about the Rising. But like she cares about the Obsidians and pulling them up out of their slavery a lot more and then like mm-hmm. making sure that they're their own culture and like they've got their own thing
under
going.
The thumb of the gold,
that they don't need like Darrow or anybody. And I liked, like, the first time I read it, I hated that. I was like so mad at her. But the more times,
like, how
I
dare
read
you
it,
leave
yes,
Darrow?
Yeah, the more times I read it, I'm like, that's actually a pretty cool baller move by Seffy.
Yeah.
So that part just really made me respect her a lot. And then, like I said, it added a ton of depth to her character where she's like, I'm making this whole culture and we're just going to chill.
So the moment is like she's touring Ephraim around.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're kind of getting the whole like,
here, we're training.
We're doing this. Yeah. Like they're making their own. They just want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. My favorite moment is when she decapitates her mom. Because it was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Because we come into the spires with Aaliyah being like the scariest woman you've ever seen or met. And she's sneaky and
horrible
cunning.
Horrible blackheads.
And, like, she's just, you know, Darrow and Cassius are terrified of her. And they're also terrified of Seffy, but they're like, is she going to, which side is she going to pick? Are we fucked? Or, and then, yeah, fucking.
So this is my quote, and it's, she knew.
Is that in that scene?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the scene where she like decapitates her, and then she's like, she knew.
She knew.
And that's the first words she said in 25 years or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, she stopped talking because of her brother, and then she's like, she fucking knew what was happening. She knew about the golds. Mm-hmm. She knew we were enslaved. She was benefiting from it.
Right.
Yeah.
She was complicit.
Grab that razor, cut that head off. Yes, ma'am. Okay, my quote is, these golds speak one language, and that is the language of blood. And so long as they live, so long as they speak, my people will not be safe. So it kind of goes back to the your favorite moment, which was she, you know, all her motivations are for her people, even though they don't necessarily align the whole time with what we want them to align to.
Right.
She does have that singular purpose that she dedicates the rest of her life to. So
I love the evolution of her character, and just like, and especially going back, and then like, even the first time you read it, like, you're so mad at her when she leaves. You're like, why did she do this?
Mm-hmm.
But then,
like, we need the obsidian.
Once you see the why, and then you see her terrible death, and you go back through that whole sequence again, you're like, it feels much more noble, and just like, yeah, she's just doing her own thing, and like the thing that she actually believes in is best for her people.
Yeah.
And that's what she cares about. It's what Ragnar cared about. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool. I really appreciate Seffy.
What do you think Ragnar would have done after that last Iron Rain where Seffy was like, I've had enough?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I want to say my guy is just going, he's going to ride with Darrow to the end.
That's what I hope, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Not if, I think, I mean, maybe.
He kind of like, he gave Seffy this quest, and she feels like she is taking on this quest that was ultimately Ragnar's in the first place. So I feel like, I don't know, he could have left Darrow.
Yeah.
I think he would have had the strength to do it just like Seffy did.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe with Ragnar, the Iron Rain wouldn't have been as devastating. And
yeah.
Or Ragnar maybe could have spoken more sense into Darrow. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't keep talking about Ragnar.
Sorry.
Get sad.
I have bad news. Oh, wait. No, I don't. Just kidding. Okay. Who is your 19?
I got to do my 20. Because
Seffy
was my, she was my 18.
Yeah,
so
nice.
My 20 is Kavix Autelemonis.
Jelly beans.
Yes.
Mr. So, Santa Claus.
Incredible character. One that was really more like kind of introduced in the first series, but really grew. Iron Gold is
with
like,
Lyria chapters.
Yeah, so amazing. So speaking of Iron Gold, that is my favorite moment. The Sophocles, the magic moment where he plants the jelly bean on Lyria, mm-hmm. and he gets his way because
not him, like
magic,
you know, saving everyone and then getting stuck. And I don't know. I guess that was Lyria's big moment.
Yeah, where she saves him out of the water. Yeah. No, later on when she's trying to get a ride back to Luna and she's trying to join his house or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, his daughter's like, she can't go. But he's like,
She's Sophocles got the beans. Decides.
Yeah, she's got the jelly beans. I thought it was just, it's a perfect Cavix moment, and it like tells you so much about his character. And then my quote is like shortly before that, where he's talking about Lyria. He's talking to Lyria in the medical tent. She just lost her entire family.
Come on, little rabbit.
Yeah. He says, I know it may be impossible to believe now when everything is dark and broken, but you will survive this pain, little one. Pain is a memory. You will live and you will struggle and you will find joy and you will remember your family from this breath to your dying days, because love does not fade. Love is the stars and its light carries on long after death. Whew. I mean, that make me tear up right now.
Do you think he said that at Daxo's funeral?
Sheesh. Let's not, Daxo didn't even get a funeral. He's like,
oh yeah, he's in the sewer.
Yeah, he's just flowing around the sewers as dust. Yeah, so love Cavix.
We love Cavix.
Interested to see what happens with him in Red God. Do you think he survives?
Yeah, you can't kill all of them. Come on.
Niobe's still out there.
And Thraxa.
And Thraxa, yeah.
No, come on. You can't kill Santa Claus. I just decided today that he was Santa Claus.
And Lightbringer.
Yeah, I mean, he's been through too much.
He's been through
a lot. Come on.
Yeah.
And Virginia needs her pseudo-daddy.
We gotta have that, like, Virginia succeeds moment, and she gets to hug Cavix at the end of the book.
And we just, we're running out of, like, old wise people. Yeah. They keep getting stabbed.
Yeah.
My 19 is Lorne Au Arcos.
Oh, this is my 19 too.
Mr. Will-Away.
Nice.
Death begets death, buddy.
Yeah.
He's got so many quotes. He's literally Chuck Norris. So it was hard to pick one.
I know. I was like, am I going to quote him or going to quote somebody
about
quoting him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Rage Knight.
Yeah.
My favorite moment is in Golden Sun when they are reclaiming the Augustus fleet and they're going after Pliny.
Yeah.
And he's basically like, if anyone steps within 2 meters or whatever of Darrow, everyone dies.
Everyone dies.
Like, not just you. And everyone's like, don't fucking move. He means it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how badass. Yeah. And
that was my favorite moment too.
It was not.
Yeah.
Nice. How do you describe it?
Like, we don't get too many Lauren moments, honestly. Like, he's only in Golden Sun.
And some of them are a little space racist leaning.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he is in the original Red Rising, but he's more of like a, you see him, you hear about him, but he's only really like a fully realized character for the Book of Golden Sun.
Or the Book of Lorne.
Yeah. Wow. Hint, hint.
We might learn more. We might get what we always wanted.
But
what?
This is like, everybody talks about how much of a badass he is.
Yes.
And you hear all he's got. He's
and
been,
he's like old badass.
Right. And he gets quoted a million times throughout the books. But this is like the moment where he actually is badass in the books.
Yeah.
That we get to
and
see.
And you see everyone pee in their pants.
Yes. And then everybody reacts. And then he's like counting off like 2.3 meters. Close.
Oh,
so
I'm watching you.
I think this is like where we truly kind of see the threat that is Lorne Au Arcos.
So for my quote, I said, I would not have raised you to be a great man. There's no peace for great men. I would have had you be a decent one. I would have given you the quiet strength to grow old with the woman you love.
Yeah.
And that to me is like what Lorne wished he could have done.
I know.
He's talking to Darrow, obviously. And, you know, Darrow's also not doing this. So maybe he will in Red God. It's just, Red God's just like a nice love story book.
Yeah.
Where they're reading it on the by the sea together.
Like that captures lonely. Like kind of his like longing
and
his,
yeah, his, you know, the death of his son.
Regret. Yeah.
Lots of regret. Death begets death.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a good one.
Poor Lorne. And then in the end, he begets.
He is begat.
He is begot.
Yeah, begot.
He begot stabbed a lot.
My quote for Lorne was, when falls the iron rain, be brave, be brave. There was a lot of Lorne quotes, and there was one in particular that I wanted to use, but I'm going to use it for a different character. He uses a quote.
Okay. And then
the
people quote Lorne.
Yes. So I don't think he doesn't actually say this out loud. This is somebody quoting him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just captures him so well. It still captures kind of that poetic longing. Like he's like, I don't know. There's always like a piece.
He's a little dramatic.
Yeah. There's like a piece of drama. There's a piece of regret to like kind of everything he says. Like
yeah. A depth.
Yeah. Where he's like a sadness to him always, where he's like been sentenced to this, to be this like amazing killer, but he doesn't really want to do it, but he's just so good at it.
I picture him as like Oscar Isaac in Dune.
Yeah.
But like with a gray beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hot. But you know, when right. he's like, no, knows he's going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Leto's a good comparison. I like that. So yeah, let's go to, and then my 18 was Seffy. So let's do your 18.
Okay. This is getting confusing. We need like a...
We're keeping track. We're chart. Doing so good.
Mine is Romulus.
Nice.
Mooney time.
Nice.
I love my Moonies.
Romulus is on my list too, but not on this list.
Oh, don't spoil the future. Okay, Romulus is obviously a badass.
God, I love this guy.
He's strong. He has skills. Yep. He has a strong moral compass. It's not fully where we want it.
Yeah.
He has, what's the word? He has conviction for like what he believes.
Similar to like what I was saying about Diomedes last right, episode.
Yeah. Like he thinks everyone has their place, which is the problem, but he's also very respectful to everyone.
Right.
You know, his values are what I think Lysander thinks he thinks.
Yes.
But doesn't like actually do in practice.
Right.
You know, the what gold should be or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite moment is when he puts Roke in his place when they're Darrow and Roke, they're in Romulus's garden doing the peace talks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, Darrow tricks him and says he's got the nukes or whatever. And he's just like, if both of us are in the same room, then one of us is dead, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
It's he obviously says it cooler than that, but I thought that was a badass moment because
yeah.
he seems like peaceful. I follow rules. I won't hurt you in my house, but next time I see you, you're fucking dead.
He's got some fury behind yeah. him. Yeah. Like he,
and after Roke was just being like so annoying with his high-minded speech.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know what? I pick Darrow.
There's one thing I know about Romulus. That man is he will follow through.
Yes. Yes. That's a moment we didn't get. Romulus finding Fabii
yeah.
before, you know. And then my quote is, this is not the end.
Mm.
Here's the card. I will love you until the sun dies.
Yep.
And when it does, I will love you in the dark.
I mean, just a banger.
Dude, as much as I hate Dido. Dido?
Dido, yeah.
I was like, Dio's the wrong one.
Yeah.
We're adding syllables or consonants. Even though she's a bitch, obviously, and fucked it all up, and he's dying because of her,
mm-hmm.
he still has the like strength of character and depth of love to be like, our love story will go down in history. That was a crushing moment.
It's amazing. Yeah.
That's one where I cry real tears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's incredible. That line will be used in howler weddings for many, many years to come.
In perpetuity. I only wish I got married later. I could have used it.
Okay.
Who's your 18? No.
18 was 17. Seffy, so I'm going to go to 17.
I kind of hate my 17.
I kind of hate my 17.
Nice.
Mine, because it's Roke.
Nice.
So I chose Roke at 17 and he's this high for me. I gotta give it to him. He's a good book character. I do just hate Roke.
Yeah.
With my full fiber of being.
So you also liked when he got smacked down.
But this goes back, like if you've listened to all of our episodes, then you know like I went on a journey with Roke. He used to be
No, everyone did.
Yes.
I mean he was kind.
We loved him.
He picked Darrow
up. I really
up.
Enjoyed him.
You know, he
was sensitive.
He was the first one where Darrow was like, oh, not all Golds are just pure evil.
Right.
Like, he has kindness in him. He cares about his friends.
So nobody felt more betrayed by Roke, not even Darrow, than me. That's what I have to say about
you
this.
You stuck your neck out for this guy.
Yeah. And
he embarrassed you.
I know. It just sucks. And he's just super space racist. But gosh, he
almost gets more and more space racist.
Yeah, now he's just a complete like clown in my head. Yeah. And
it is hard to go back to before.
I know, the before
and like
times.
have those feelings.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I did kind of get it when we talked about his swimming line.
Yeah.
Last week I kind of
like,
felt
oh,
it
yeah,
for a
I
second.
Remember.
But then it snapped out of it.
Then you're like, but okay, yeah. What's your quote?
I'll start with favorite moment, and it's okay. His death. Because
I wanted
God,
to do that last week, and I didn't.
We enjoyed that. We really did.
You can't. Your favorite moment cannot be suicide. You have to.
It
pick
is.
A,
I
you
just
have to
did
pick
it.
A different favorite moment. We're so canceled.
I just did it. Yeah. So, I mean, I love to hate him. I love to hate him at this
sure.
point.
He's
and
a good
so
villain.
Seeing
he's
him go.
Pierce always makes the most complex
yeah.
villain.
Seeing him go and him getting crushed by his little pink girlfriend right before he dies. My gosh.
That can be your favorite moment.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
He was cuckolded by his pink.
Just that's sweet. I loved it.
Is that the right use of cuckold?
He deserved it. It was like nectar. My favorite quote, and this is one that rings very true for me personally. There is no greater plague to the introvert than the extrovert.
Are you talking about me? This feels
no,
personal.
No,
this feels
personal. No, never.
When does he say that? I don't remember
I
that.
Which book it is, but I'm thinking Golden Sun probably.
I wonder which Pierce identifies with, because he seems pretty extroverted. But he's also a writer, so you kind of have to be okay with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
We don't know. Tell us in the comments. Okay. Well,
do you have number 17 for you, right?
Guess who my number 17 is.
I have no idea. Is this the one you plugged in?
He goes by...
Oh, okay.
Bitchface McGee.
Oh, this is, they're related, these two. Not related
okay.
by blood, but like related by being bitches.
Being bitch faces.
Yeah.
So I wrote Lysander Owl Loon Bitchface McGee. Nice. Because I like couldn't bring myself to just put Lysander. This was one.
This asshole. Let's talk about him.
Prick. This was one where I tried really hard when I was looking for my favorite moment. I tried really hard to like think about him, like even in Iron Gold, like
Mars,
you know, beginning of Iron Gold. Yeah. I was trying to like bring myself back to like when he was like being
no, he
chilling
also
with Cassius.
Then.
I know. Yeah. And I was like, I can't think of a moment where I didn't hate him. And then I finally thought of one.
Okay.
It's in Dark Age. And it's when he amasses a stampede of horses. And I was like, that was pretty cool
okay,
because
yeah.
I like horses and Sunbloods are scary as fuck.
He's a horse guy. Gotta respect it.
And he's you know, up on these horses and he's jousting and he gets the blow in. I was like, okay. I'm not saying I like that moment, but in terms of like being a good villain, that was
quite,
pretty cool.
Quite villainous.
And he brought the horses in, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the cavalry charge.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Save a horse, ride a Sunblood. Nice is what I say. And then my favorite quote. Let me get in character.
Oh hell yeah!
She's no traitor. She is our conqueror. That's baby bitch.
The last time he had sense, fucking 10-year-old. Yeah, this guy.
That's a mark against Cassius that he didn't let Severo kill a child. Just kidding.
Yeah.
He was, how old was he? Like 13?
He's 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blech. I don't think we can kill a 10-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if Severo did.
Not if we're the good guys.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Maybe
well,
Severo can. Yeah,
too
that's
bad.
What he would be for if we were going to do
I wish Dido would have done it then.
Yeah, you wish somebody would just...
Whatever.
Now, but...
Oh, well.
Now we'll just deal with him.
Now, I guess...
I feel like we're going to have a real satisfying Lysander death in Red God.
I have this feeling that Pierce is going to not leave us happy.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it's going to be bittersweet. I'm on record saying bittersweet.
I think we're going to be like, well, that's how the cookie crumbles.
That's how the cookie crumbles and Lysander's in charge at the end.
Yes, yeah.
Damn, that would be
But tough. He has regrets because he murdered everybody.
He can't be redeemed at this point. He's a full-on war criminal.
All right, we're nearing the end.
But we kind of thought that about Darrow, and he did kind of redeem his war criminality. So we'll see. Is it me or you?
You
me?
Go.
Yeah.
Okay. 16.
Number 16. Related to Lysander by blood. Alexander Aucharchus.
Octavian.
Yeah, so my number 16 is Alexander.
Nice.
Yeah. I was really surprised he wasn't on your top 25 or your prime 25.
How do you know he's not?
Because you said he was on your honorable mention last time.
It's because he's dead.
Because I was listening to you when you were talking.
He's dead and we don't get that much time with him.
Yeah.
Like he has an impact, obviously, but it's not like, you know, as big as some of these others.
This one, his death really hurt my feelings.
He's also like a pseudo Cassius, so I see why you are so obsessed with him. But like for me, like he's like Darrow's stand-in for Cassius, and like, you know, I get why we like him, but I don't know. I also kind of feel like if Darrow wasn't there, would he be a good person? Would he be a loon?
Yes, he is. That's the whole thing at the end.
Oh, right.
Let me give you my quote about him first. And my favorite quote from him is, "I know who I am." He refuses the peerless scar from Darrow. This is right before he's about to go save all the people from Tyche being flooded. And Darrow's about to give him, he gives him the wolf cloak and he's about to give him the scar. And he says, he refuses the scar, he stops his hand. He says, "I know who I am," because he actually fucking believes in the rising. This is my favorite moment and favorite quote. Like, this is Alexander all rolled up into one. Okay. I went back and read several of his scenes in Iron Gold and Dark Age. He's a full-on just dickhead in Iron Gold, which is...
That's why, he's like teenage flirting with
and
Rona.
And he's very much like, "Do you want to talk about genetics?" You know, that type of guy.
He seems fratty.
Right. And then he's talking a lot about genetics in Iron Gold. Like, multiple mentions of genetics.
Okay.
Like, we get it, dog.
I don't remember
Your last name's Aucharchus.
Right. Great.
But by the time...
And then Rona's like, "I have bolts."
Yeah. By the time Dark Age rolls around, he's a different person because he's seen some shit. And he's learned. And he actually, like, is bought in and believes. And he's like... He, similar to Cassius, so this is why I probably like him so much, is, like, shows what gold is capable of. They're capable of changing, capable of believing in this system. So we should really just refer
to
him.
Capable of being Han Solo.
Yeah. We should refer to him as Alexander Aucharchus, not Alexander Aucharchus.
Ugh. Yes, I agree.
Okay. Well,
it's tough.
That's all I'm saying. You're number 16.
All right. Last but not least, this is the person I added to the list who was off the list previously because she's dead and weak and not strong.
Yeah.
And not good at fighting.
Oh, yeah. I remember now. Yeah.
Io. Because we wouldn't be here without Io. None of us would be here without Io. And just because she's physically weak, not cunning. Maybe she's cunning. But
she's pretty cunning.
Not great fighting skills. She is...
Some people think she's super cunning. There's a whole double secret agent theory out there.
I don't know. I still think she didn't know everything.
I agree.
In the... graphic novel volume 3, she like sees
the rising
the
logo
fucking Aries.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think
spoilers.
That she's
it's a spoiler podcast. We said entire Red Rising saga. Okay.
Including all the other shit that you should have read already.
Don't get mad at us.
Are you even a fan? The people that get mad at me, I'm like, are you even a fan? My point was she has incredible strength to fight against giants. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I get yelled at work and I'm like, I can't even breathe. Like, right. So the fact that she could, you know.
A lot of strength of character, conviction. Oh,
yeah. Conviction. Yeah. And just like, you know, fighting through the fear and the imminent death. Like, yeah, all right, here I am.
Straight up willing to die.
So my favorite moment goes into that is when she's being whipped and she's brave enough to sing and she like can sing while she's being whipped. Great lungs, girl.
Pretty badass.
And then Darrow says in his head, you know, in the face of cold power, she is fire.
She's fire.
Gah! Like the Phoenix.
Yeah. That line, X-Men. I feel like, has really been blown up on TikTok.
Oh, really?
I think the Romantic-y girlies like that one.
Ooh, she is fire.
Yeah.
They're only on Red Red.
I'm just completely talking out of my ass, but.
You're not on TikTok.
I see things. I see things.
On Reels.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. Catch up, Ben. We're already on to like Morningstar
yeah.
on TikTok. You're still on Red Rising. And then quotes, live for more, break the chains. You know, the things we live by in this book series.
Yes.
Is Io even on your list?
She's not. Nope.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Might be an oversight on my part. I'll hear about it.
The
we'll
thing
see.
Is, like, when you start going back through the first book, you, like, have all those same feelings of, like, oh, my, like, the heartbreak.
Yeah.
And the young love and, you know, the unborn child. And
it's a heavy impact for her.
It's, like, I mean, right from the get-go, Pierce really gives us a preview of, like, the intense feelings yeah. we were going to continue to have. Right. So,
yep.
Great job. 20 through 16. What's nice. Your 20 through 16? Let us know. # HowlerPod Prime 25.
Nice. Good nice. Job. You nailed that. Don't forget, we want to hear from you guys in
yes.
the Howler mailbag.
Prime 25. Give us your list. Or just, you know.
Or maybe just like 5 or 10, you know.
We're going to read everyone's top to bottom.
Yeah.
Great content.
Keep sending those in and we'll talk about them. We'll probably... You know, we'll talk about it at the end.
If we get enough, we'll even say like, you
we can
know,
do a whole episode.
We'll do the yeah. the mean of
oh,
who
be
gets
fun.
The most, you know, yeah. top five of like everybody.
That. Yeah. Send your whole list in.
Do we all have all the same top five, you think?
I doubt
like
it.
Like the main characters?
Like, oh, just like just the people, not the exact ranking.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I would say it's probably pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, Aaron. You know what it's time for?
What are we into this week?
What are you into this week, Aaron?
I'm into a lot of things because we took such a big break, but I'm trying to go down the line.
Yeah.
This week, I'm into The Studio with Seth Rogen. It's a TV show on Apple TV, and then I think through Prime you can get it too. It's so funny. It's super fast-paced. Lots of like funny drug use, funny like... It's like about a producer for movies and the whole
He's
backstory.
Like a studio head, right?
Studio head, yeah. Sorry. And it's great. I love Seth Rogen. And it's very slapstick. I like the style. It's all shot. I don't know. It feels...
It's kind of like single cuts and stuff. Like
yeah,
that.
Single
yeah.
cuts.
It's like single it's takes, I mean.
And it's
like
very, it's very, very yeah. funny.
Yeah.
And makes me smile.
Seth Rogen's great.
It's great. You should watch
He's
it.
He's good at what he does.
Zoe Kravitz is in it. She's amazing.
Nice.
What are you into?
I'm into a book this week. I read it over the summer and just really loved it. It's called Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. This was like blown up online. All the dudes were reading Lonesome Dove. It's a cowboy
okay.
book. It's a cowboy book.
Cowboy book.
Yeah. And you know I love my cowboys. So I got really into it. I read it on, I was like on a week-long vacation, camping trip, fully unplugged, and
nice.
Just read like the 900-page novel
What's it about?
That week.
Cowboys.
So it's about two old Texas Rangers that decide to go on a cattle drive all the way up to Montana. And
is it true story?
No, okay. it's all fiction. It's a big famous book. It won a Pulitzer. It was important at one time. And they made a mini series and all this stuff like that. Anyway,
Cat Bliss.
It's great. It's fantastic. Yeehaw. I would definitely highly recommend it.
For like everyone or just boys?
I think anybody could read it. It's fantastic characters, both men and women. Really, like, every character has so much depth. It's really interesting the way he writes each character. Like, you go in and out of people's heads constantly throughout the entire book. So you like jump into someone's head for like half a chapter, but you really get to know that person. You know what motivates them. So then you're like, oh, I'm invested in them. And so you learn, like, you go through the whole kind of cast of characters that way. It's a really interesting way. I've not read too many books like that where it's like so free flowing in between characters' heads. And it's just like, it's funny because it is like the quintessential Western story, like just like pure, perfect Western. But it's also like a complete takedown of the entire genre, kind of lays it all bare, the violence, the racism, like all, it's all there and it's all like on the page and you're like, this is terrible. And, but it's also kind of like romantic and like the tropes of what you would think a Western is at the same time. So it's very interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. I really, really, really enjoyed it. So I definitely recommend it. It's a long one and it probably starts a little slow, but once they get on Cal Drive, it really, really takes off.
It's by Larry McMurtry. Lonesome Death.
McMurtry. Yep.
Murty. I like Larry McMurtry.
Larry McMurtry.
Sorry. Okay.
I think he's dead. It's fine.
Okay. Sorry, Larry. What are we doing next week, Ben?
We're continuing our Prime 25.
That's a shock.
Surprise, surprise. We're going to do numbers 15 through 11, getting close to that Prime 10.
Ooh, top 10.
Wow.
Burp, 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 burp. Special thanks to Miles for the episode art. You can find Miles at Mbenski Designs on Instagram.
Love you, Miles.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't do it.
I'm not. I would
you should
never.
Do, you should do like a new, you know, the wave or something.
Oh, man. That's a lot of pressure. Dance moves. I've only got.
Can you?
Here I am again.
Can you like raise an eyebrow?
Yeah, I can do a.
Ooh, there you go. Subscribe to see Ben raise one eyebrow. Follow us at HowlerPod on Instagram and Facebook and at HowlerPod Official on TikTok. Leave a voicemail, 1-800-516-1540. We'll play your voice on the pod, especially if it's fun and funny. Or, you know, give us some backstory on a character that you like and why. Find links to this at howlerpod.com and rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then we're going to like make you pick Bitch Sander as your number one and everyone's going to make fun of you.
They'll all hate you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Howlers.
I'm Nisvir Lupus. Howlers.